Maybe you are planning your workout in the wrong way and you think it's good because working out on planche is not just doing tuck planche and then advanced tuck and things like this.
Yo gorillas, welcome to the Athlete Insider podcast by GoroNation. My name is Phil and today's guest is the planche girl from Switzerland, one of the inspiring athletes out there, inspiring many male and female athletes around the world with her aesthetic skills. I'm happy to welcome you to the show, Lena Limoli.
Hi, thank you so much for having me here. I'm really happy and it's a good opportunity for me to speak also with the English people, not just French as usual. So thank you so much.
Yes, you're from the French-speaking part of Switzerland, right? So you do most of your content in French. And we already received a lot of story replies on Instagram saying from people, yeah, finally, tell me when the interview is online. Finally, hopefully it will be in English. So there are a lot of people looking forward to this interview. And that's cool to make it happen. Thanks from your side to make it. And yeah. Let's go.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Lena, who are you? Do you want to quickly present yourself? Who is Lena Limoli?
Yes. So I am Lena Limoli. I'm from Switzerland, from the French part, and I'm 19 years old. I study health. I'm in the first year of propedeutic here. So then I will have the access for trying an exam to enter a physiotherapist school. That's one of my dreams, so I hope I will be accepted in this school. And I'm a sport lover, especially calisthenics, and I'm also a lot interested by nutrition and by sharing what I love to do on social medias.
Wow.
I think that's more or less it.
Cool. Sounds like a busy day. Like I guess your studies also take a lot of time, but maybe in the one or two possibilities also connect with the sport, right? So sometimes you see connections between your studies and your career as an athlete.
Yes, it's really interesting. And I really wanted to have studied that I can make links with sports and that can be useful for my life. So yes, and I think if I became a physiotherapist, that would be so good because I could have a gym with a gym part and a physiotherapist part. So that's the goal. For me, it was really important to connect both. So I can go to school and just say, okay, today I'm going to learn things that would be useful for me too in my life and not just for study or for the work.
So, sure. That's super cool. Yeah, because I know if we don't ask these questions, people will ask them in the comments and will say, yeah, please tell me what the hard facts. You already said you're 19 years old. How heavy and how tall are you?
Okay, the classic question. I'm 50 kilograms and I'm 1.59 meters. Okay. Unfortunately, not 1.60 meters. That was a sad story, but yeah.
Cool. And you are known as a really advanced athlete with advanced skills. But you haven't been this person for forever. So maybe you want to take us a little bit into your start with calisthenics. How did your beginnings go? How did you get in touch with the sport?
Yeah. Maybe I can explain my sports parkour. Like I began when I was 4 years old and I've done 2 or 3 years of gymnastics, I think. But I don't remember because I was too too young. Then I've done a lot of different sports. The main one were soccer for 8 years. Then I've done boxing. I've done parkour. I've done fitness also, like bodybuilding. I've done powerlifting and rowing and all those things, a lot of sports, but for some reason I've always been getting bored of the sports after a shorter or longer period. And then just before starting calisthenics, I was doing boxing and 1 month powerlifting. Then I had an injury. I just I was running doing football at school, and I was just running and I hit the wall. So I opened my face, and I had a concussion. So I had to stop. And then when I can go again at the gym, it were closed because of the COVID. So at this time, I started working out at home. And now I still work out at home and with weights. And then I was just, weights are boring. So what can I do? And I was seeing a lot of content on Instagram about calisthenics. So I was like, let's start doing a handstand again. And then I started doing a back lever and things like this. And that's how I discovered calisthenics. But I have a fun fact is that when I was younger, I didn't know what was calisthenics, but I've already had a picture of a guy doing a full planche here on my my room. And I was writing all around the picture like, today I've done 5 push-ups. Yeah. And it was a goal for a long time, but I didn't even knew what was calisthenics. But yeah.
Wow. So you're an extremely active person. You tried like so many sports, some sports maybe have some parallels, like boxing, for example, where you also need a lot of explosive strength or like good shoulder strength. But like there is no sport, like there is no 10 years of gymnastics experience, which is completely linked and connected to calisthenics. So it's extremely impressive. So if I understood you right, you started with calisthenics in 2020 in the beginning of COVID.
Yes. A little after, because at the beginning of the COVID, I was still training for powerlifting at home with weights. Mm-hmm. Because I thought the gym were going to open soon. And then I just reached later, like in June or July, something like this. And there I started doing calisthenics. Wow. So yeah, I started in June or July 2020.
Wow, that's insane. Like that's 1.5 years from now. And how did your beginnings go? How did your workouts look like in the beginning?
It was a little chaotic, I think. I was just training for fun. So from June or July till October, I was just doing, at the beginning, just handstands, and then handstands and a little of basics, and then just trying back lever and things like this. But it was really go with the flow, like what I wanted to do at the moment. I was just doing it, and yeah, it was not that good at the beginning, but it was fun at least. And I think it's the good way to start something, because at the beginning you have to test a little and to see if it's really what you want to do or not. And especially me, because I've changed so many times sports, so I wanted to be sure that this one were the good one for me, and I think it is, but I just wanted to be sure and to start slowly with just discovering a little the sport. So yeah, mostly handstands, basics, and back lever.
Yeah, did you ever think in the beginning that you would achieve like the planche, the straddle planche?
Oh, actually it's a difficult question, because I was hoping so. It was a goal for me since I had the picture of the guy doing a full planche. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was going to take a lot more time. But in a certain way, yes, I knew that I was going to achieve it, because it's strange to say, but when I start something, it's always or 100% or zero. It's not, I've not a good balance between both. It, all or nothing with me. So yes, I was just since October I've trained like 200% every time, 6 times per week, more sometimes. And yes, it's strange to say, but when I start something, it's not for being like in the normal level. I don't know. I'm not happy with my level right now. I want always more. I'm not satisfied easily. And so, yes, I knew I was going to achieve it someday because I knew I was going to work really hard for this, but I was not accepting this to arrive as soon as it goes.
What do you think was the key to unlocking the planche so quickly? Was it your genetics or your training approach or your sports history? What was it that made you unlock the planche and like progress really quick in aesthetics overall?
I think it's the way I planned my workouts, because at the beginning it was chaotic, but since I decided to train on planche, it was really structured and really every time I had to do one rep more in each set, it was all written on a paper. So I knew what I have to beat every time. And yeah, every time just turn off the mind and go and do what's written. So yeah, planning workouts has always been like something important for me in the other sports. So I've learned a lot about it, and I think I knew more or less how to schedule a workout, how to program it. So I've just done it, and yeah, every time to 200%, and yeah, just go with it and be consistent. Try to listen to your body, and I've done these stupid things that I wasn't listening to my body at the beginning. So I've had injuries and things like this, but yeah, mostly the consistency and the fact of programming your workouts is really important, I think. And also with the mind, you have to think that you are able to do this. If you say in your mind, oh, I will never achieve this, you will never achieve this. If you say that it's possible, okay, it will take time, but you will work for it, then yeah, you will achieve it. It changes a lot. Really change a lot. If you are able to visualize you by doing this, you will be able to do this. It's, don't know how to explain it, but the mindset is really important in calisthenics. It's one of the most important things, I think.
What is your mindset during the workout? Are you like in a relaxed mood, or are you like aggressive even, or like what is your mindset when you're in the workout itself?
I'm never aggressive, because I know for many people being angry or aggressive during a workout, it's important and that it can help a lot of people. But for me, it's not like this. I have to be calm, and to between each set, I try to visualize what I'm going to do and to see me succeed this. And then I just focus, I breathe, and I go. But never angry, because when I'm angry, I just lose the balance, or I'm not focusing enough on the skill, and I'm just focusing on for the reason I'm angry. So it's useless for me in a workout. So yeah, I prefer to be calm and to think about it and just do it.
Cool. Do you want to share a little bit the structure of your workout nowadays, like your typical workout week?
Yes, I can. I've changed a lot lately, because I was just trying to change the way of working out. And yeah, I needed to change, because I have a lot of things to do right now and a lot of things on which I want to work on. So I had to find the right balance, but for now I'm training 6 times per week, 2 times full body set and reps, 2 times planche, and 1 to 2 times front lever too. And for the planche workout, because I know that people ask me often how are workouts, so maybe I can explain a little about it. So usually I start by doing combos for, first of all, a good warm-up for 20 minutes, 20 to 25 minutes. And then I do combo for a lot of time, don't know how much, but as long as I can go. I do combos and then I do singles and then like 1 hour of just strengthening exercises for planche. And that's it.
Okay.
That's like a typical workout. For set and reps, it's always full body set and reps, and it's the shorter workouts between 1 hour to 1 hour and a half. For planche, it's like 3 hours, and front lever, 1 hour and a half too. So yeah,
planche is 3 hours. You said,
yeah, from 2.5 to 3 hours.
Wow!
Because it's my favorite, so it's the happiest moment of the week. So okay. Yeah, I take more time for it.
Okay, cool. So planche doesn't take that long because it needs more rest than front lever, or it's just because your focus is on planche, right?
Both, I think, because for the combo parts, for front lever, I don't do combo because I don't have front lever. So I just train on progression and things like this. But when I train for planche during the combo parts, I take a lot of rest between the combos, like 8 minutes or 5 minutes. Between 5 to 8 minutes. So yeah, it takes a lot more time to work out on this.
Yeah. Interesting. How long did it take you from the first basics workout to the first straddle planche hold where you've been happy with the form, etc.?
Okay, that's a good question. And so I started working on planche on October 2020. Then I had an injury, so I had to stop for 2.5 to 3 months. And I think my first clean hold of 3 seconds, 3 to 4 seconds, was one day, the first time I went to Basel to meet the Genesis team. So I was there and there was such a good vibe, and it was strange for me to train with people, and it gave me a lot of energy. So there I think I've done my first planche, and I was like a kid, like, oh, I've done it. Oh, it was that clean. I didn't know, because I don't know. I wasn't feeling anything, because it's strange for me to train with people, because I'm used to train at home alone, like 95% of the time, maybe. So yeah, it was more or less the same feeling that I had at the competition. Like when you don't feel nothing and you're just in that mood, it was this. So yeah, I was really happy about it. And it was in August 2021.
Yeah. August
20. So from October to August. Yeah.
Okay, and you started with calisthenics in general in June, you said something, right?
Yeah.
So from the first basics workout, like not even focused on planche, but basics, it was from June 2020 till August 2021. So little bit more than a year.
Mm-hmm. That's strange. But that's good. That's good.
Yeah, it's super good. Like that's also maybe something. What's your opinion on, because I know that there are a lot of people listening, maybe like also a lot of girls, but also we have to be honest, like also a lot of guys that aren't able to achieve the planche in that time. So maybe what is your opinion on this? You know, like there are people listening, having maybe doubts. Are they doing something wrong with their training? But what are your thoughts? Why are some people unlocking the planche quicker and why are some taking longer?
Okay, that's a good question, and it's hard. So first thing, I think we don't all start with the same base, like the same, we don't have the same level when we start, because some people start from zero, like they've never done sport before, and other have already some muscular bases and things like this. So first thing, that's why we don't achieve planche in the same amount of time. Like for someone is a longer period of time and other shorter one. But yeah, that's the first thing. So, okay. And then we are all different. Like we don't progress at the same, we don't progress as fast as other. Like, that's also totally normal. But the best advice I can give is to ask somebody that already has planche to give you some advices. And yes, don't just do your workout for you. Try to speak with others. Try to ask. Try to ask, and just that's the best way, because maybe you are planning your workout in the wrong way and you think it's good, because working out on planche is not just doing tuck planche and then advanced tuck and things like this. It's also a lot of strengthening exercises that helps more than just doing progression, like lean planche, handstand push-up against the wall, tuck push-up when you're about to do this, but before lean planche push-up and things like this. All these are important exercises. And then also you have to let your body rest. You cannot train planche every day because you are just going to get new injuries. You have really to listen to your body, and working out on planche 3 to 4 times per week, it's way enough. Like, if you have a good program and you work on planche 4 times per week, you will progress really fast. And so I think nutrition and warm-up are both important things. Like, if you don't warm up enough, you won't have the best activation. You won't have, it will be difficult. And for the nutrition, it will give you a lot of power and it will help you to recover faster. So yeah, that's, on my opinion, also an important point. And the best is to remember that you have to enjoy the world. It's not, you have to enjoy like every workout. It's not just enjoying to hold the planche. It's really enjoying all the small steps to achieve it. So yeah, that's important, because if you don't have it, it's going to be long and difficult. But if you love the workouts, it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. And you will be even more happy when you will unlock it. So yeah, just have fun. Ask someone that knew more than you about planche for how to program the workouts. Train from 3 to 4 times per week. It's enough for the planche. Yes, have enough rest, enough sleep, and a good nutrition, and everything is going to be really fast.
Cool. Nice. Maybe you want to share some, you talked about progressions, and we all know these obvious steps to the straddle planche, like tuck planche and advanced tuck, etc. But maybe you want to share some exercises that are maybe underrated, or people don't have it on their agenda to build strength and to strengthen themselves for the straddle planche. Somebody asked about handstand push-up. How valuable do you think are handstand push-ups for unlocking the planche? And maybe you have some other exercise as well.
Mm-hmm. First, for handstand push-up, I think it's really useful. Or at least when I started working on this, I had a big progression on planche. So I think it helps. Then for other exercises, it's a little difficult, because some person like to train with the resistance bands to learn the skill. And I've never learned full planche. I've never worked on full planche or on straddle planche with the resistance bands. So I prefer to do negative. Negatives helping me a lot. And yeah, I think it's really, it depends where you are, but negative, lean planche and lean planche push-up are the three most effective for me, I think it was. And yeah, it's also, there is an exercise where your arms are on the parallel, high parallel, and just to try to maintain the position of straddle planche with just the arm on the bars. And that helps for the form and for the muscle activation. And yeah, that's the most effective, I think, for me, for my opinion. But it depends. It depends your lack points, like
your weak points,
where
basically.
You have weak points, where you have difficulties, you have to work more on it. Yeah. For somebody, it's going to be shoulder strength, for their core strength, or yeah. Also, like having a big straddle or a smallest one, that change a lot too.
Would you recommend generally to work on the side split, like to have a wider straddle?
It depends the final goal, but on my opinion, no, because first thing is that when you have bigger splits, the retroversion is going to be more difficult, because to do the retroversion you have to squeeze the glutes, and yeah, it's easier when you have less straddle, basically. Yeah. And if the final goal is full planche, you will be less far from this if you have a smaller straddle than a big one. So yeah, cool. Don't try just to unlock the straddle, but think about later. Like if you take 2 months more to achieve a straddle planche with a smallest split, it's going to be really good for after, for when you will learn the full planche.
True.
So yeah, that's why I don't work on split. But yes, if the final goal is just a straddle planche, yeah, you can work on split. It's going to be useful. Yeah. Cool. For sure.
Did you ever think about having a disadvantage to learn static skills as a female athlete, or like, is it something that you never thought about or that you ignored?
I think that's true. We have more difficulties to learn the skills, and maybe that's why there are not so many female, because when you start working out and you see you work out good and you give your best and you work out hard and with discipline, consistency, and you see a guy that starts working out on planches the same time as you, and that's unlucky, really fast in front of you, and that's what happened with me. Mentally, it's difficult because you are like, it takes a lot of time. And I think that's why sometimes a girl think that they cannot have a high level and that they just give up because they don't see the progress fast. And that's a problem, because I'm sure that we can have really high level, and I think I will prove it, because in all the sports I've done, it was always a goal for me to prove that a woman can also have a high level. So yeah, that's really a thing that I want to prove. And yeah, I want to tell that even if it takes more time, you will achieve it, even if you are a girl. There is no difference. Even the fact that, okay, girls are progressing faster, but we can achieve it too. We just have to have patience and to work out and, yes, have discipline, and everything is possible. Like really, you see girls that have sick full planche, really big full planche, and you are like, okay, so that's possible too. So I will work on it. So just try to find inspiration and to see a woman that does the skill that you want to learn. And yeah, when you are less motivated, just watch this and yeah, see that it's possible and that you are going to do it soon too. Like, yeah, it takes more time for us, but it's possible.
Wow. Cool. Yeah. Also, I have to say, when we did the question sticker on Instagram, there were like a lot of comments from other girls saying, no question, but she's such a strong girl, such an inspiration. So you have you're inspiring a lot of girls out there. And That's really, really, really nice, because I think the sport definitely needs more female athletes, more
I think too.
in all areas, like in weighted, in endurance, and in statics, in freestyle. So yeah, I think you're doing an awesome job to inspire them.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me, because it's really a goal on Instagram to motivated and to help the calisthenics girl community to grow. So yeah, listen to this, like hearing this, it's really good. Like, it makes me so happy. So yeah, I hope I will motivate a lot of girls to start calisthenics and see that it's possible for us too. So yeah, that's really the main goal with the social media for me. Yeah.
Cool. One girl who also commented, an awesome girl and super strong girl as well. Iris from Austria. She's.
I can't wait to meet her. I really want to.
And yeah, she's also a big fan. And she asked, "What do you love most about calisthenics? What feeling gives it to you when you work out?"
That's a good question. First, I want to say that she actually was my inspiration to start working out on planche. So that means a lot to me. So yeah, it's strange to hear this. And then what I love the most about calisthenics is that you have the control of your body. And that's something that I haven't had with other sports. And that's what I love the most about calisthenics. But it's also that you always have difficult progression to do. Like, it's not just let's get with the straddle, with the planche progression. You still have something to learn after. Like, even first you have tuck planche, then you have advanced tuck, then straddle, full, Maltese, and things like this. And there's always something to learn. Like, it's really difficult to unlock all the skills. And I think, yeah, for some big athletes, it's possible. But personally, I think, honestly, I will never unlock all the skills, never. But that's cool, because I will always have a bigger goal to go and to work on. And that's what I love. There is always a difficultest progression to work on. So yeah. Yeah, it's not boring. There is a lot of things to do. So yeah, that's what I love.
Sure. It's like a video game where you can unlock one level after the other, but there is no end. And there are
exactly
sometimes there are challenges that you don't think that you can conquer, or like that seem really hard. But in the end, like if you keep going, you can get them all. And yeah.
Yeah, it's a good game. Calisthenics is a good game.
Question also from the community. It was, we see you mostly, like at least on social media, working on a handstand and planche. So question was, doesn't it get boring sometimes? How do you deal with a workout that is kind of the same from week to week?
Mm-hmm. That's another good question. First thing that I want to tell is that I don't share every workout on social medias, because sometimes I just have to focus, and I just want to focus on the workouts and not on filming or on making space on my phone, because I don't have enough space and I have to record all the workouts. So sometimes a lot of time I work out on different things than just planche or handstand. It's just that I don't show it. So yeah, but people cannot know that I work on other things. So I understand the question. But that's true that for a lot of time, I've only worked on planche. It was the biggest focus on planche. But it was not boring for me, because for some reason I love it enough for not being bored of training planche. And an important thing to know is that I when I train planche, it's not always the same workout. Really not. When I was working just on planche, I had two different workouts, two or three, it depends, but two main part of the time. So I just done it two times per week, like two times the first workout and two times the second. So it was not boring because it was not always the same thing. And yeah, I don't know, for some reason I love it and it was good. And I think if competition was not a goal for me, I would still train only planche, like really. That's what makes me happy. It's strange to explain, but yeah, it's like an obsession.
Cool. Yeah. Another question, like, can you maybe present your journey to become a Swiss champion of this year? Because it's also something which is extremely impressive. Because we've been at the competition and there were like a lot of strong girls also. So it was a big performance there. So maybe you want to share with us a little bit the preparation for the competition and also the competition day and the feeling afterwards.
First thing, I was not supposed to compete this year because I was thinking about starting next year to compete and waiting to have a level with which I was not satisfied but happy about it before doing competition. But what happened is that I spoke with Julian that were part of the person that organized the competition, and I've just asked, oh, but there is no girl competition, you haven't like done it? And he was like, okay, let's that he told me that he wanted to do a girl competition but that he didn't know if there were going to be enough girls. So I told him that I were going to find girls that wanted to compete. And yes, to speak about it on Instagram and things like this, and with the girl that I know personally that does street workouts. So when I've done this, in a certain way, it was an obligation for me to participate because, I've done a lot for this competition. Not in the preparation, but in asking and finding a girl for competing. So then I was like, okay, let's compete. Let's do this. Let's try. And if it doesn't go that well, that's not a problem. It's the first experience. And next time I'm going to be more comfortable with it. And I will know more of myself and of how I deal with the stress. I'm really bad with stress, like really. But that's okay. So what I've done is that I decided to focus on my strong points, so planche and back lever. So for 2 months, that was a little strange because in the competition we were supposed to do freestyle, but I've not a gym to train in, so it was difficult for me. And outside, for some reason, in Switzerland, it rained a lot. so it was also difficult to train outside. But we decided to make a team just for the competition with the guy of Lausanne. So we have made that Stenos team. And we were a lot working out all together. So that was good, and I've just like decided to focus on the strong points and not try to unlock the front lever before, because I just had like 1 month and a half to prepare myself. So during these times, I've done a lot of combo. I started doing combo because I've tried to do a 2 minute set, and it was a lot. It was really difficult at the beginning, so I decided to work a lot of combo to gain strength endurance, to gain endurance in the shoulder, basically. So yeah, it was a lot of combo, and I've changed my round so many times, like really so many times, because at the beginning it was supposed to be two rounds, but in the end just one. So I was like, okay, I will never be able to do like presses and holds all on the same round. So it was a little stressful for me to change the rounds every time. But like the two last week, I've just done my rounds again and again and again and again, just to feel more comfortable about it. So yeah, in the end, last week, before the competition, I've been able to do it without failing every time I've tried. So I was comfortable enough with it to compete, I think. Then it was really cool. Like, it's one of the best experiences of my life, because I've met so many people that with who I was just writing on Instagram. And so being able to meet them in real life, it was so, so cool. And yes, I think I've learned a lot, like really a lot on that competition. And it was so, so cool. I was really stressed, and that was hard for me. Like, we can see in the video during the warm up, I was just like really not focused, but just so stressed. So I was like, okay, let's do the plunge. Okay, let's do this. And after, they were, okay, Lena, it's your turn in 30 seconds. And I was like, oh, but I'm tired. So how am I going to do this? And then it went really good. Yeah. Once the music starts, you just forget all the stress and you are in. Yes, it was a really strange mood. Like, yeah. And the thing that made this really strange for me and really, yes, that was really strange, that there were a lot of people. And at home when I train, there is nobody. So it was really difficult to see all the people watching, and you are just like, okay, but I train in my home, in my room, and there is nobody, and there are a lot of person, but that was a good thing.
Cool. Yeah, it was a super intense day, and you did super well, I think, it was your first competition then.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So then it's like a big chapeau. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I wasn't that happy with the performance, but that's okay. I was happy with everything except the straddle that was really high, but it was just so difficult to understand if I was high or low. I wasn't feeling anything. So yes, I was really, really sad about it. Like, when I finished and I just watched the video, I was like, oh, but that's my favorite skill and I've done it really bad. So yeah, mentally it was difficult. Like, I was really happy about all the rounds, but not my favorite part of the round. So yeah, that was really difficult for me, but that's okay. It went well.
And I think there are really few people who are satisfied with their first competition. So I think first competition is always a mental game, and it's really hard. So I think you did well.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
People also asked about your journey to become a GoroNation athlete, because I'm happy to welcome you to the team as well since a few weeks. So maybe you want to share the story, how you became a GoroNation athlete.
Yes. first thing, it was like kind of a goal for me, or something I really wanted to a brand which I really wanted to work with when I started calisthenics. But I knew it was too early. So I waited and I've done my road. And then what I remember is that you or somebody of the team just followed me on Instagram, and we started to speak and to react into stories and things like this, and just had the first contact like this. And then at the competition, you were there And it was the first meeting in person, let's say it like this. And it was really cool. And yeah, that was our first meeting. So we had the opportunity to speak and to start meeting each other. And then since this day, I was thinking like, okay, I really want to work with them. They are a great team, a great mindset and things like this. And yeah, really good quality equipment also, because I won the Paralets. So I can, it was the first time I was trying them. So yes, that was really cool. And I just had to wait until the contract that I had before with another brand had to finish before I can have another sponsor. So I waited, and the day they told me that the day it ended, I just writeded you that if you were searching for new athletes to sponsor, I would be really happy and really honored about working with you. So yeah, then we spoke about it, and yes, I'm here. We've done a shooting that was really good in Stuttgart, and yeah, that's it.
That's really
the
cool.
Story.
Nice.
I don't know if I forget something, but I don't think so. More or less, it was like this, no?
True. Should be good. I didn't realize something. So yeah, super happy about that as well. Like super happy to have like a talent like you in the team with a great spirit and yeah, a love for the sport. So yeah, let's talk about injuries. Injury, you're currently recovering from small injury, and you also had injuries in the past. Maybe you want to share, what did you learn from the injuries that you had in the past?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've had one from training too much planche. So I broke my serrated muscle, and it was really painful. Like even the nights, just when I breathe, it was just waking me up, and I was like crying, like, okay, I will never train planche again like this. Because I just not listened to my body enough, and it broke. So first thing that I've learned is that you really have to listen to your body. Don't just keep working out, even if you feel pain, if it's a bad pain, if it's just like your muscles are tired, okay, you can train. But if it's something about articulation and things like this, you have to listen to your body, and it's better to rest for 2 weeks than for 2 months. So just listen to your body and stop working out if you feel pain. And yes, you will recover faster. You will feel less pain in the end. And yeah, just listen to your body and rest when you have to. Even if it's complicated, it was really hard for me not to train for 3 months, because training has always been part of my life, and it's always the part of the day that I love the most. And it's like my kind of meditation in some way. Like it's the moment in which I just think about nothing but training. Don't do like me, and don't just not listen to your body. You have to listen to it, and yeah, rest when you have to rest, because if you don't rest, you will just be so sad after it, when you will go to the doctor and that he will say that you have to stop for 2 months or 3 months. Yeah, that's going to be hard. Oh. So yeah, I've learned to listen to my body, and that's the best thing I could learn. Yeah, really.
When you have the injuries, how do you deal with them best? Like what is your recovery advice? For like regeneration?
I think it depends the injury. When my muscle was broken, I could do nothing but rest, like really no workout, like just go for a walk, but no run, nothing, like really nothing. So that was just finding other things to work on. But when I have like the injury I have this time, so a problem at the tendon, I've done a few days of rest, then no planche workout, because I knew that it was the plunge that make me like feel pain. So I was just not doing it. And I was like doing strengthening exercises for biceps with not that much weight, but a lot of repetition in order to like, don't know how to say it in a proper way, but like to broke the tendon more to get mm-hmm. it stronger after mm-hmm. when it recover. So yeah, that was the plan. And that's still the plan. Yeah.
Cool.
But what I recommend is that when you have an injury, try to work on other things that you don't work usually. For example, I've trained a lot on flexibility when I had the broken serrated muscle injury, because stretching is something that I don't like, but I know that's important. So I was like, okay, I cannot train. So maybe I can work on something that will give me progress in my skills without training. So yeah, that's something important, I think. Just work on the points that you don't work usually. And yeah, try to work on something during the time you were supposed to work out. Don't do just nothing but watching Netflix. Like, yeah.
Sure. Nice. Yeah. How does your diet look like? Some questions about your diet and nutrition. You also share some recipes and some delicious recipes on your Instagram. So how does your diet look like?
Okay. My diet is really important for me because I've been interested by nutrition since I was like 14 years old, maybe, or 15, like really, really young. So I've learned a lot of things about it because I quickly understood that nutrition are a big part of progression. So my diet looks like I'm eating, I count everything that I eat, like I weigh everything, because it's part of my lifestyle. And if I don't do this, I feel really stressed. And I know that's not a good thing, but that's like this. And I've tried to change it, but I can't manage. Like, I feel so much stress when I don't know at how many calories or gram of protein I am during the day. That's so strange. That's a bad thing. I don't recommend it, but that's what I do. So for now, I'm at maintenance, so I don't try to gain weight and I don't try to lose weight. So basically, I eat clean most part of the time because I love to eat clean, not because I have to, but because I love to. I don't care what I eat because I know that I'm going to eat clean. But I just try to have the right amount of protein every day to recover and to burn muscle and yeah, to maintain it. So for me, it's like 2 gram per kilogram of weight. So yeah, that's it. I just make sure to have enough protein, to have the right amount of calories, and yeah, I count everything. And then maybe 1 or 2 times during the week, if I go to the restaurant or things like this, I just eat and I enjoy the moment. So yeah, that's what I've done. But I've done it in the wrong way for a long time because I was just thinking, oh, if I'm lighter, I will have better skills, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was in a calorie deficit for months. Mm-hmm. And it was really difficult for me to train because I was really tired and yeah, I wasn't feeling powerful. And then I just thought about it and say, okay, maybe for calisthenics it's not good to be on a deficit. If you are okay with your weights and if you are used to work out with it, you don't have to lose weight. You just have to maintain and to have enough energy. So yeah, that was really a game changer for me when I started eating again more It just made me more powerful and also more happy because I wasn't always hungry and things like this. So yeah, that was really important. So I've had a lot of more of energy. And yes, my workouts are just better now than when I was in a deficit. So yeah, nice. Deficit is not the solution.
Interesting. Yeah. Your plans for the year. So what can we still expect from you? Do you have some goals for the year? Like we're talking end of November, not for the year, but maybe for next year. Like some goals that you're currently working on?
Just on sport or also social medias and things like this, because I have many goals. Okay, no, not that much, but I don't like to set specific goals, like too specific goals I don't like, but yes, a general goal I like. So my goal for skills are the full planche, always the full planche. And yeah, I think I will unlock it soon, or at least I hope so. Then the front lever to be more complete athlete, because it's useful. And yes, I hope to compete next summer. That would be a goal. And to meet a lot of people that do street workouts. I think I will use the vacation to just go and meet people, because I feel like I need to, and I really want to. Like, it's cool to speak with people on Instagram, but it's better to meet them in person. So I think I will try to meet people and go to different gym. That's really what I think, that it's going to make me happy. And yeah, for social medias, I will just do more video on YouTube. That's what I'm working on right now. And that's why the day are really full because of it. And yeah, I want to help as much people as possible with nutrition and with like planning workouts, with the motivation also and things like this. So yeah, being more present on social media is really a goal, and that's something I'm going to work on. And yeah, for the study, just to finish the year. Succeed the exam and start the physiotherapy school. That's the main goal, probably the most important, because study unfortunately are the most important things for our family and things like this, and I want to make them proud of me. So yeah, that's also a goal.
Cool. Yeah. I'm crossing fingers for you that everything is working out, like the planche, the full planche, the front lever and the studies, like everything. So
thank you so much.
Thanks for the interview as well. We're coming close to the end. We always have the quick questions, quick answers at the end of every episode. So what's your favorite food?
Burgers, I think. Burgers and sushi.
Nice.
That's my favorite one.
Nice. Are you more a dog or a cat person?
A cat person, but I have a dog. But it's a chihuahua, so it's more or less like a cat.
Okay. Nice. Like everybody, all athletes say, I'm more a dog person, but I have a cat. Or like, I'm more a cat person, but I have a dog. It looks like, yeah. Weird.
It's a family decision. Yeah, it's true. Not mine.
True. What's your favorite color?
Do you count dark as a color?
It's okay.
Okay, perfect. Dark.
What athletes inspire you?
Always Iris. Always. Since the beginning. And I think it will stay like this. And Victor Kamenov. Yeah. And also Valentin. Like a lot of planchers, because I love planch. But yeah, that's the three main one, I think. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
What's your favorite skill?
I don't know. Planch. Always planch. Yeah.
I thought it's the pull-up.
But after the Maltese. Yeah, and on the second reps part, it's dips.
Okay.
So my favorite. Yeah.
So I guess the next question is obvious, like this one as well, but pull or push?
Push. Yeah. Always push. And you?
It's transformed a little bit. Like in the beginning of my calisthenic journey was pull, but now it's push as well. So yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I think it just comes with a lot of handstand, hand balance. It just comes with that you're become like so strong in shoulders that push movements become easier. But I think everything it's a question of focus and maybe also a little bit of genetics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite book that you want to recommend?
I don't read a lot. I don't read a lot, but I read a book in English. I'm not sure, but it's like 12 Rules for Life, something like this. It's something about self-development and things like this. And yeah, that's why I've done this tattoo.
Oh, wow.
It's from this book that I had the idea. So yeah, that's my favorite one, I think. Right now.
Cool. We'll try to find out the book and we will put it in the description for the people who want to check it out. Do you have a favorite music genre?
Yeah. I don't know how to say it in English too, but it's like indie, like Italian indie, but it's not really indie. It's a little strange, but Italian music, because I'm Italian, so it makes me just happy to listen to something Italian. Yeah.
Cool. The best calisthenics event you've ever been at?
The only one, but I think it was the best. It was the event, it was the competition. Yeah.
The Swiss Championship.
The Swiss Championship, yeah. It was really nice and really well organized, on my opinion.
Super nice people.
It was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Super audience, super like really emotional, supportive crowd. It was really a big shout out to Genesis Workout. It was super, super nice to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks to them too. Yeah.
Great. Last question. What's your message to the calisthenics community? What's something that you want to tell the listeners?
That I think we are doing a really, really, really good sport. And yeah, even now with that situation, we've seen that a lot of people started doing calisthenics, street workout and things like this. And yeah, I was going to say, I think it's the best sport, but there are no best sport, but just keep working out and yeah, keep make person dream about it. Because when you see someone doing, even just handstand, people are like, oh, how you do this? Oh, I want to control my body. So yes, keep inspiring person, keep meeting, keep sharing, and yeah, we have to keep helping each other, because that's, I think, a characteristic of our sports. So yeah, we have to keep doing all this. And yeah, I hope to meet as much possible, as much person as possible in these sports next year and during all the next years in general. So yeah, we are doing a great sport and let's keep supporting each other. Yeah.
True. Great. Where can people get in touch with you? Where can they learn from you?
The social media I'm more active on is Instagram. And then it's on YouTube, but on YouTube, unfortunately, I think I will continue to do just content in French, because I don't feel comfortable enough to do a lot of video in English, because it takes more time. But there will probably be subtitles in English. So if you want to learn more, you can also go there. And yeah, if you have question, if you have something to tell me, you can write me on Instagram and I check the message often. So yeah, that's where you can speak.
Awesome. All the links are in the description and in the show notes. So yeah, if you want to find Lena on Instagram, on YouTube, you will find her. Yeah, we're coming to an end. Big thank you for your time. It was a real pleasure to get to know you even better, to let you share all your advice to the audience, to the calisthenics community. So thanks to you. And before you can say goodbye and end the episode, Lena, I want to say thank you to everyone listening to this till the end. Super grateful for that. It's been an over an hour interview again. And I'm super proud and happy for the people listening till the end. So thanks for that. If you like the episode, give it a thumbs up on YouTube, on Spotify. You can do nothing but just say thank you there. So thanks. Anyways, Lena, you can say goodbye and thanks again to you.
Yeah, thank you so much for everybody that has been listening to the podcast, and thank you to you for this opportunity. It was really cool and it was really a pleasure. So thanks for this opportunity.